All right. Good morning, everybody. Next Saturday is a big day, right? My Washington Huskies will be taking on the Oregon Ducks. So I only mention that because if the Huskies lose, I may not show up for church on Sunday. And one of the other staff members may be preaching next Sunday. But anyway. Hey, we started last Sunday night our Freedom Course, and I got to tell you, it was so exciting. This place was, we were just full of people. We had about 150 people here last Sunday night as we launched the Freedom Course. This is a very powerful course that we're offering to help us understand what the Bible has to say about freedom. And man, so many people came and were so excited. And numbers of people just sharing with me what God is doing in your life. And so tomorrow night, or tonight rather, is week number two of the Freedom Course. If you weren't here last week, don't worry. You can still show up tonight. You'll be okay. So come tonight. Let's see what God has for us. And this is an eight-week journey that is going to change people's lives. It's going to rock your world, I promise. And so tonight at 5:30, we continue on with the Freedom Course. And this morning, we're continuing to talk about freedom. And as we talk about freedom this morning, we're going to be focusing on the one who sets us free. We're going to be giving our attention to the person of Jesus Christ. Because for the Christian, it's not about who we are. It's about who Jesus is. It's not that I am righteous and holy. It's that Jesus is righteous and holy. It's not that I am good. It's that Jesus is good. It's not that I'm powerful. It's that Jesus is powerful. And he is the one who sets us free. And without him, we will never find freedom. I love Pastor Ben's story. I didn't know he was going to share that. It was a great illustration and great picture. He never mentioned the whole computer thing when we were interviewing him. But yeah. So it's important for us to understand this morning as we talk about freedom that we can't set ourselves free. It's Jesus who does that. Because freedom doesn't just happen. Freedom is always fought for. There's always a battle when it comes to winning our freedom. If you go back to the Old Testament story of the Israelites coming out of Egypt, Pharaoh, remember, didn't just wake up one day and say, I think I'll let the Israelites go. Nor did he, when Moses first showed up, you know, at the palace, nor did he, when Moses told him, God has said, set my people free, Pharaoh didn't comply. He scoffed and said, why would I do that? So the people of God, Israel, they were only set free after God brought a series of plagues upon Pharaoh and upon the Egyptians. And it was through God's power that the Israelites were set free, right? So freedom, there's always a battle that takes place for freedom. Freedom is never free. And so as we talk about freedom, remember there is a battle for your freedom. And then as you continue to read the story about the Israelites, another thing that's amazing about that story is even though God had set them free and after they came out, they still had for a long time what we could call a slave mentality. They had been set free, but they had not come to understand that freedom was found in following God. And so some people have put it this way, that first God got the Israelites out of Egypt and then God got Egypt out of the Israelites. And that took a little longer. So when it comes to our freedom, and this is one of the principles that we teach at the Freedom Course, when it comes to our freedom, freedom is both instantaneous and it's a process. So when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, yeah, we are set free from our past. We are completely forgiven. Our eternity is paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are set free. But there's also this process where just as the Israelites had some, you know, baggage with them from Egypt, sometimes we carry some of that baggage with us. And so there's a process of us becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. The Bible calls this sanctification. It's becoming more and more like Jesus, and that is a process. I shared with you last week that I was raised in a home where my father was an alcoholic for most of my growing up years. But when I was 19 years old, my father, and almost really in my limited understanding of what God was doing in my dad's life, my dad suddenly and surprisingly gave his heart to Jesus Christ. It wasn't like, hey, I think my dad's getting close. He seems to be. No, it was just like he went from totally living for himself and living in the world to giving his life to Jesus. And the day that my father gave his life to Jesus Christ, he never took another drink of alcohol. I mean, that the bondage that he had lived under for all of those years was broken the moment he prayed and gave his life to Jesus Christ. And God does that, amen? Many of us in this room, we could testify to the fact that when you gave your life to Jesus, things changed, right? Things changed. But we could also, if we were going to be honest, testify to the fact that God is still working in our lives and things are still changing, right? That everything is not exactly the way we would like them to be right now. And so that this thing about being free, it's instantaneous, but there's also a process. And it's a battle. It's a battle. There's a war. We're in a war. There's a war in our world, right, between evil and good, between darkness and light. There's a war going on. And we can think of that globally. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So globally, we can think of the fact that there is this unseen spiritual realm, and there is warfare going on, and there's a battle between Satan and God. By the way, God is always victorious, amen? So this is not like an even battle. But there's warfare going on in our world. So we can think of it globally. Socially, we certainly see the warfare that's going on in our world, right? So many of our university campuses are a spiritual battlefield. Our young people are being indoctrinated with anti-God, anti-Christ messages. So we see it globally. We see it socially, this battle. But church, I want to remind you this morning that you don't have to go to Somalia or Iran or Hollywood or Washington, D.C. to see spiritual warfare. If we were to be honest with ourselves, if we want to see spiritual warfare, all we have to do is take a good, honest look at our own hearts. And we recognize that there's spiritual warfare going on right here, right? Right here in our own lives. It's a battle. It's a battle. We all have battles that we face every day. Am I going to choose God's truth or am I going to choose the lies of this world? Am I going to choose love and grace or am I going to choose hatred? Am I going to choose my human flesh and what it wants to do or am I going to submit to the power of God's Holy Spirit in my life and do what God wants me to do? It's a battle. But I've got good news for you today. In your battle, you are not alone. In your battle, Jesus is fighting for you. He is on your side. So we're going to look at this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 3 this morning, Ephesians chapter 3, that talks to us about the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before God, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, watch this, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Did you catch that? He gives us power and strength in our inner being through the presence of his Holy Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. This is Paul's prayer for the church. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to go back to that 20th verse again. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Man, let that sink in. God is able to do more than what you're thinking. He's able to do more. You see, the devil wants to limit your thinking about your life. The devil wants to make you feel stuck. He wants to make you feel like you've got a problem that's never going to change. The devil wants you to think, well, my family's always been this way, so I'm always going to be this way. And these are lies from the enemy. The truth is, God is able to set us free through Jesus Christ. Amen. That deserved a lot bigger amen than that. God is able to set us free, completely free in Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah. And I love this word out of that 20th verse. God is able. Everybody say able. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. God is able. God is able. This is a great word that describes God. This word able is used in a number of passages in the Bible that tell us what God can do in our lives. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25 says God is able to establish you. You don't have to be tossed back and forth by the waves of circumstances in your life. God is able to establish you, plant you, make you strong. God is able to establish you. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to bless you abundantly. He's able to bless you abundantly. How many of you want to be blessed? Yeah, amen. I'm going to really pray for the rest of you. You must be. I want to be blessed. Yeah, who doesn't? And God is able to do that. Not only is he able to bless us, he's able to bless us abundantly. Abundantly, an overflow. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. See, God is able. He is able. So when we go through temptations in life, and we all do, he is the one who's able to deliver us from those temptations. Jude verse 24 says, Jesus is able to keep you from stumbling. How many of you are just falling in love with this word able right now? Yeah. Yeah. God is able. There is nothing that God cannot do in our lives. So when it comes to freedom, it's Jesus who sets us free. He is the one who is able. You can't set yourself free. Your spouse can't set you free. I can't set you free. Your therapist can't set you free. That prescription can't set you free, but Jesus can. Amen? Jesus is the one who sets us free. He is the only one that has our ability. And the cool thing is, remember earlier we talked about that freedom is won through battling, fighting for it. Jesus has already fought the battle and won the war. Jesus was born into this sinful world and lived a sinless life. Jesus won the war in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus won the war when he was being crucified and he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Jesus won the war when he shed his blood, not for his own sins, but for our sins. Jesus won the war when the grave could not hold him and he rose from the dead. He has defeated death and the grave. Jesus won the war when he ascended to the right hand of God, and there he is seated in the heavenly realms, ruling over all that exists. Jesus has won the war. Amen. So the freedom that our hearts long for, the freedom we want to see in our lives, I want you to know it's already been fought for and the battle has been won. Jesus has done the work. And so many times we feel like we've got to do the work. If only I tried harder. And then we start beating ourselves up because we're not a better person and I should be better than this. And we go through all of that. Listen, the answer is not fighting harder for your freedom. The answer is surrendering more to the freedom that Jesus Christ has already won. And acknowledging and trusting. This is why faith is so, so important. Faith, believing that Jesus is who he said he was and did what he said he would do. Amen? Believing that the work has been done by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is the one who sets us free. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, looking back on the cross. Since the children have flesh and blood, and that's speaking about us, since we have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. This is the incarnation, Jesus taking on human flesh and coming into this world, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free, everybody say free, free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Man. Now, there are a lot of things in life that can cause fear, but one of the main things that people struggle with in terms of fear is just the fear of dying, right? The fear of dying. What happens when I die? But through Jesus Christ, we can be set free from the fear of death. And by the way, if Jesus can set us free from the fear of death, he can set us free from every single fear. Amen? Every single fear. A personal struggle that I had, this goes back probably 25 years. And I don't know how this got started. I think it was because of a traumatic thing that happened when I was pastoring. I was pastoring in Lincoln City, Oregon, and one afternoon, actually early evening, I got a phone call from one of our church members telling me that our head usher had just had a heart attack when he was mowing his lawn in the front yard. And when I got to the house, the EMTs were there. They were working on Don, and his poor wife is standing there in the lawn watching them work on her husband. They're unable to resuscitate him. There'd actually been a doctor right across the street mowing his lawn when he saw Don fall to the ground. And so I was talking to this doctor, and the doctor said, "Look, Don was probably dead before he hit the ground. He had just a sudden heart attack that took his life." And there was just something about being there and that whole traumatic thing that even though I was 35 years old, I was convinced I was going to die any minute. Now, looking back on it, it seems kind of silly, but I'm telling you, it was a real thing. And fear started to just take hold of my heart, just an unrealistic fear. And my blood pressure started to go up. I started to worry. I couldn't sleep at night. I was stressed out. And I was convinced that at any moment, I was going to have a heart attack and fall over dead. And so this was pretty, as you can imagine, I was just struggling with this. And then, you know, to top it off with the fact that, man, I'm a pastor of the church. I should be a great man of faith. I shouldn't have these kind of problems, right? But I'm here to tell you, the struggle was real. And so I'm just like starting to pray about this. And Lord, what's going on? What is this fear that I'm having? And then I was sitting on my couch one evening. And the Lord spoke to me. I believe this was the Lord. The Lord spoke to me and said, Tim, what are you so afraid of? At the very worst, you would have a heart attack and die and go to heaven. And I'm telling you, that word just so spoke to my heart. It absolutely, you know, one word from the Lord can change everything. And it was just something about the Lord speaking to me that night. I woke up the next morning completely free from that fear that I'd been struggling with. This is what God does. And that fear was broken. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're struggling with fear in some area of your life, Jesus Christ can set you free from that fear. He can set you free from that fear. Fear is not from God, the Bible says. It's not from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, right? And so I'm here to tell you, if you're struggling with fear, maybe it's the fear of death or fear of getting some disease or the fear of rejection, or there's so many things that fear can just creep in and begin to take control of our lives. Whatever that fear is, I want you to know Jesus is the answer and he can set us free. He can set us free. And so this morning, I want to pray that the power of God's reality, God, what Jesus has already done for us on the cross, that the truth that we have freedom in Jesus Christ so penetrates your heart that whatever you're afraid of is going to be broken. The Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. And so we're going to pray that the perfect love of Jesus Christ so fills our hearts that fear is broken in Jesus' name. Now, there are a lot of passages of Scripture that we could go to at this point, but I'm going to close with this one right here. Psalm 18 and verse 2. It's a great promise. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And I love how David is saying here, not just that God is a rock or the rock. I love how David says, God is my rock. God is my rock. And this morning, that's my prayer for you, that God is going to be your rock, your deliverer. And we're going to pray for freedom from fear. And we're going to look to Jesus Christ because he is the one who sets us free. Would you bow your hearts with me, worship team? Come on up this morning. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. Let me just ask, in this atmosphere of freedom, in this atmosphere of trust in the body of Christ, in this atmosphere of us being able to be real and honest, and if there's any place we should be able to admit that we're struggling in some area, it should be church. Church should never be a place where we feel like we have to put on a mask. We should be able to be real with one another. And so let me ask this morning, are you here and there's just some area of fear of rejection, fear of a lack of resources, fear of death, fear for your health, fear for your children. There's some area of fear that's gripping your heart today. And you need Jesus to be your deliverer and to break the power of that fear. in your life. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand up right now? Just hold your hand up. Yeah, just saying, Tim, I need prayer for this. Thank you. Thank you. Numbers of you, so many of you this morning, as I thought there would be. It's a pretty common challenge in our lives. Go ahead and put your hands down. This morning we're going to pray and we're going to believe God that stranglehold of fear is going to be broken in the strong, powerful name of Jesus Christ who sets us free. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we invite your presence into this place once again. We thank you, Lord. God, that there is nothing that's impossible for you. I thank you, Lord, that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Lord, we pray right now for every person. We pray with them for every person who just said, man, I'm struggling with fear and it's choking my spiritual life. It's hurting me. In the name of Jesus, we speak over every life and we declare freedom from fear in the name of Jesus. That bondage that has weighed them down and held them back, God, in Jesus' name, we are believing you to God, God, today to set every captive free in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Now, if you're one of those folks that raised your hand this morning, there were numbers of you, I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Go ahead and stand to your feet if you raise your hand, all right? Stand up and just come right up here in the front. Right up here in the front. We're going to pray for you today. Church, let's everybody stand together as these guys are coming up. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just come right up close so everybody can come in, all right? And then I'm going to ask... I'm going to ask some people to come forward. If God just lays on your heart to come and pray with somebody, we want to pray over you. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, let's have some prayer people, all of our pastors that are here, come and pray with somebody. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to just speak this truth out with me this morning before we pray. I want you to speak this truth out from God's word, and I'll lead you in it. We're gonna quote God's word together when it comes to fear. All right? But we're going to personalize it. Instead of saying God has not given us, we're going to say God has not given me a spirit of fear. Okay? So all together, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Do it again. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come before you today. We lift up, God, our brothers and sisters in you, God, that are just feeling, God, this fear thing gripping their life, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, for all the times in my life, God, that you have broken that chain of fear. God, that you have set me free from that. And Father, right now, God, that helps me to pray. It helps me to pray for people who are going through the very same thing I've experienced so many times in my life. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we stand together and we pray. We agree together that this spirit of fear is going to be broken in Jesus' name. Freedom from fear. Freedom from fear, whether it's fear of death or fear of illness or fear of a lack, fear of the future, fear for our families. In the name of Jesus, God, I want to pray, Lord, God, over that fear of abandonment. Fear of abandonment. There's so much abandonment in our culture. Parents that have left their children and spouses who've left their spouse and friends that have abandoned us. And it can be such a heartache and cause so much fear that we just kind of close our hearts down and we refuse to let people in anymore. And God, that's not where you want us. You want those walls to come down in Jesus' name. So I come against that fear of abandonment in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, that our hearts would be set free to love again. our hearts would be set free to let people in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who sets us free. And we declare today, Jesus, you have won the victory. You have won the victory for us. You have fought the good fight. You lived a sinless life in a sinful world. You died on the cross and shed your blood. You completed your mission. You said on the cross, it is finished. And we agree today that it is finished. And then you sealed our freedom when you rose from the dead so that fear has no grip on our hearts because, Lord, you have defeated death. You have defeated the grave, and we are victorious in you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All of God's people said, amen. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You go ahead and go back to your seats, and we're going to sing a song of praise and give thanks to the Lord this morning. Thank you, Lord.